Das kann so sagen, dass ich bei Fragen, wenn ich mir sagen, dass ich darf mit dem Dalet. Die Mischa said, der Koyin says, Mio ish asher eiras isha v'chula. Right, it says, asher eiras comes to include one who gave eiras into a basula, to a manah, to a shmer, ziyavim, and even to five brothers where one died without children, in which case, all the brothers are exempt from going to fight the war. The pasuk could have said, v'loy lokach, and it says, instead, it says, v'loy lokcha. This teaches to exclude from the exemption a case where the eirasin was prohibited, although effective, such as a yid giving eirasin to a mamzeres, etc. In fact, Mother Bryce seems to be arguing with Rabbi Yosei Glili, who says that a pasuk teaches that one who has aveiras is exempt from going to war. If so, the person who entered into the prohibited eirasin should be exempt from going to war. And for the Mother Bryce, it holds like Rabbah that the person who gives the prohibited eirasin is not over an aveira until he has bia with the woman. Therefore, even Rabbi Yosei Glili would hold that this person would not be exempt at this point because the aveira has not yet been committed. Zach Digmar Bryce says the order of the exemption of the pasuk is first regarding building a house, then planting a vineyard, then marrying a woman. The Torah is teaching proper conduct that a person should first build a house, then plant a vineyard, and then get married, meaning he should first attain a level of financial stability and then get married. We see from Shlomo HaMelech and Mishlei as well, where he says, Hochein Machutz Malachtecha, referring to preparing a house, and then V'atotob asod eloch, referring to planting a vineyard, and then Acher v'nisa v'isecho, referring to getting married. Another way to explain the three parts of this pasuk is that Hochein Bachutz Malachtecha refers to learning Mishnah, then V'atotob asod eloch, referring to learning Mishnah, and then Acher v'nisa v'isecho, referring to learning Gemara. Another way to explain the pasuk is Hochein Bachutz Malachtecha, referring to learning Mikra and Mishnah, and then V'atotob asod eloch, referring to learning Gemara, and then Acher v'nisa v'isecho, referring to doing Maisim Tovim. Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosei Glili, darshan the pasuk to mean Hochein Bachutz Malachtecha, referring to learning Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, V'atotob asod eloch, referring to doing Maisim Tovim, and Acher v'nisa v'isecho, then refers to getting the reward for dashing in the Torah. Mishnah says, "Ve'elu she'enim chayzvim habayne be'shav v'chula." Bryce is told if one adds even one row of bricks to his house, it's considered to be a new house, and we're making him exempt from fighting the war. Mishnah Eliezer Omer, "Af habayne beis levenim basharoyin." Bryce is taught the reason for this is because a house built with the bricks, those bricks would have to be rebuilt twice in 7 years. Therefore, it's considered more of a temporary structure and does not exempt them from going to war. Mishnah said, "Ve'elu she'enim zazin mimekoyman." Bryce says, "Isha chadasha," which seems to suggest that only marrying a basula would exempt from army service. When this pasuk uses the seemingly unnecessary word Isha, again, it teaches that even marrying a widow or a divorcee would exempt from army service. Therefore, when the earlier pasuk says Chadasha, it means that it must be a new wife for him, which would exclude from the exemption someone who remarries his own divorcee. A brisa says Lo Yetzei Batzava, which would suggest that the person who entered Nisuin but did not yet live with his wife for a year does not go out to war, but he still has to be in service providing food for the troops and repairing roads. The pasuk therefore says Vlo Yaver Olav L'chol Dover, teaching that he's not to be put into civil service at all. We would think that even includes a person who did not yet begin living in his house, or did not yet eat from his fruit, or did not yet enter into the suun. The word Allah teaches that only the person who has already begun to live there to eat the fruit, or has already entered into the suun, is fully exempt from any service. If so, once we have the pasuk of Aliyavar, why did the pasuk also have to write Lo Yetzi Latzav? Oh, this was done to make him be over on two lavim if he does go out to war. Zok the Mishnah, the pasuk says, they say that if someone's frightened, they should go back home and not make the other yidden frightened as well. Rabbi Kiva says this refers to someone who is simply scared to go and fight. Rabbi Yosef Lili says this refers to someone who's afraid because of a various that he has done, which is why the Torah provided for other exemptions so that the sinner can go home. He doesn't have to be embarrassed because people think that he went home because he built a new house, etc. Rabbi Yosef agrees that it refers to a sinner and says that it refers to a kohen gadol who marries a widow, a kohen who marries a divorcee or chalutza, Yisrael who marries a mamzeres or nasina, or Yisrael who marries a mamzer or nasin. Israelis who marries a mamzer or nasin. The mission continues. The pasuk says that when the shaitim were done speaking, they shall appoint leaders in front of the people. The mission says that they would put leaders behind the people as well. The leaders in front of the people were there to pick up the people who have fallen. The leaders in the back had metal axes with them, and they had free choice to use them on any yid who tried to run away from the army, because the beginning of running away is a downfall, as can be seen from Sukkim. All the exemptions listed only apply to discretionary war. However, if there's a melchemes mitzvah, everyone has to go out and fight. Even a chosin is taken from the chuppah. Rabbi Huda says the exemptions only apply for melchemes mitzvah. However, if it's Machemes Choiva obligatory, then everyone has to go out and fight, even a chasen straight from his chuppah. For the Echtimah, what's the difference between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yosi Aglili in the Mishnah? The difference is regarding an Aver Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Yosi, that would not provide for an exemption. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it would. A Braisa says, if one speaks between putting on a Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Roish, it's an Aver that would exempt someone from going out to war. Based on the above, this Braisa must follow the view of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. A Braisa says, if someone becomes frightened from war, he becomes exempt and leaves. This would only seem to follow Rabbi Akiva. The Mara says, Rabbi Yosi Aglili may agree that this reason also exempts someone from not going going to war, so as not to instill fear in the hearts of others. It may be that he only adds another exemption, which exempts one who has done averus. The Mishnah said, the Mishnah said that the beginning of running away is a downfall. What the Mishnah should say, that that beginning of downfall is running away. The Marzal Echonomic changed the word to say that. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yechanan said, the discretionary war referred to by the Rabbanon is what Rabbi Yehuda refers to as Mechames Mitzvah, and the Mechames Mitzvah referred to by the Rabbanon is what Rabbi Yehuda refers to as Mechames Choyva, meaning, so they argue regarding classification, not regarding end result. Rava said, the war fought by Yeshua to conquer Israel would be considered by all as Mechames Choyva. The war fought by David to expand the territory would be considered by all to be Mechames Harashus. The Machalikis would be regarding a war fought in a preemptive way to reduce the number of Goyim so that they not start a war with us. Rabbi Yehuda would call this a mitzvah, and Rabbi Yehuda would call this a rishus. The difference would be whether fighting this war is called a mitzvah, and therefore what makes the fighter potter from doing another mitzvah, meaning is he oisik mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah hadnalach perek meshuach mil chama. Perek egla rufa, perek tashii. Zok the Mishnah, the statements made during an egla rufa process have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh based on the pasuk that says, ki yimatze b'chal al adama, v'yatsu z'kenecha v'shoftecha. Three judges and Sanhedrin from Yerushalayim would go out to where the dead body was found to measure the distance to the nearby cities. Rabbi Yehuda says five would go, because z'kenecha refers to two, v'shoftecha refers to two, and we can't have an even number of judges, we add one more to make it five. If the body is found in a covered by a pile of stones or hanging from a tree or floating in water, the egla rufa process would not be done. We learned this from the words in the pasuk. It says ba'adama, not covered, noifel, not hanging, basoda, not floating on water. If the body was found near the border of Eretz Yisrael or near a city that was mostly goyim or near a city that had no bezin, the egla rufa process would not be done. They would only measure to a city that had a bezin. Frek the Gemara, how did the pasuk quoted by the Mishnah teach the statements have to be made in Lashon HaKodesh? Rabbi Avahu said the Mishnah should be understood as saying as follows: by egla rufa it says ve'anu ve'amru, and by brachas and klal it says ve'anu ve'amru. The Gzeir Shava teaches that just like over there by the brachas and klaus who was Lashon HaKodesh, so too by Egla Rufa has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. The Mishnah then continues and asks, what is the Egla Rufa process? To that, the Mishnah begins to answer. The pasuk quoted, like we said in the Mishnah, and that the three Sanhedrin have to go, etc. Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamisha. Bryce says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Zikenecha refers to two, Shoftecha refers to two. We can't have an even number of judges, so we add one more to make it five. Rabbi Shimon says, Zikenecha is two. We can't have an even number of judges, so we have one more for three. What is Rabbi Shimon dashing with the word Veshoftecha? He says that teaches that it must be from the choicest of judges, meaning from the Sanhedrin Gedoyla of 71. Rehuda learns this from the pasuk, from the fact that the pasuk could have said Zikne, which is also plural, and says Zikenecha, as he learns that has to be from the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Shimon says the word Zikne would have meant any elders in the marketplace. Zikenecha teaches that the judges have to be from a bezin. Still, we would think they can be any from any bezin of 23. The word Shoftecha therefore teaches it's from the great Sanhedrin of 71. Rehuda learns Gzeir Shavuf Megla Rufa to the case of Parhelim Davishal Tzibur, just as over there Zikne refers to the judges of the great Sanhedrin of 71, the same is here as well. If he learns the Gzeir Shava, why doesn't he learn from over there its entirety, including that it has to be five judges? Why do we need the words of Zikenecha and Shoftecha altogether? Rabbi Yehuda does not learn the Gzeir Shav. He only learns from the word Shoftecha. However, he darshans the Vav of Vishoftecha to require an additional two judges, thus making for four. One more is added, so it should be an odd number. Shimon doesn't darshan the Vav, and therefore he's only left with a total of three. Fekmar, if the plural words mean to add two judges, then what about the pasuk says Vyotzu, plural, should be understood to add another two judges. Umadidu, another two judges, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, should therefore need nine. According to Rashi, you should need seven. Evermore, those words are needed for another drasha. V'yatu teaches that the judges themselves have to measure; they can't send shluchim. Umadidu teaches that the measurement must be made even if the body is clearly closer to one of the cities, because the measuring itself is also a mitzvah.